Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So thank you all for coming here this evening. Christmas Eve. I guess it's a good way to spend Christmas Eve.
Huh? Christmas Day
also. Christmas Day also. Yeah. Oh. I was just this kirtan, this melody. I learned it from one devotee. His name is Madhava, and you may have heard him chanting kirtan. He travels many places throughout the world. Devotees are inviting him to all countries, and he comes and he just does kirtan, sometimes 24-hour kirtan, sometimes 48-hour kirtan. And he was with us in Ukraine in September at our festival, and he spoke a little bit about this melody. I can't remember too much detail, except I remember what he called it. He called it gratitude. He spoke some of his personal realizations, but I was very much appreciative because he's somebody who's grown up as a child in Krishna consciousness. Right from his childhood, all he knew was chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees. And now he's much older. Don't know how old. Maybe late 30s.
Late 30s, yeah.
And he has every reason to chant, and with that feeling, and you really, really get that feeling when he chants, that he feels gratitude. One of the things he spoke about when he was in Ukraine, he was asked to speak one evening. For those of you who are familiar with Ayendra Prabhu, a god brother of mine who departed from this world, I think it was in July of this year. He was very well known, not only throughout our ISKCON society, but in many other circles, as somebody who is deeply dedicated to chanting Hare Krishna. Deeply. And Madhava, at a certain stage of his youth, he went and he spent 6 years in Vrindavan chanting with Ayendra Prabhu, and he gave personal testimony how his appreciation for Ayendra and his appreciation for the holy name of the Lord, his appreciation for the association of devotees, his appreciation for all that he's experienced in his life came as a result of that association. And therefore, I was appreciating how somebody could feel such a deep sense of gratitude for especially having appreciated the gift of Krishna's holy name. It is described as a jewel, very valuable jewel, most valuable jewel. But in order to appreciate its value, one actually has to dedicate one's life to chanting. The holy name, if one actually dedicates one's life to chanting, the holy name won't let us down. And that's when how one deepens one's appreciation and can feel grateful. I remember I had just flashed on a memory that I once had, and I wrote a letter to my godbrother Giriraj Maharaj. And I think it was 3 years ago, I was, my health wasn't very good, and I spent several months in his association staying with him in Southern California. And I in those 3 months, I had gained a very deep appreciation for this Vaishnava. It's not difficult. It's not difficult at all. Anyone who associates with him, and really, because you have to dig a little bit. He's not a superficial person. As most Vaishnavas, most Vaishnavas who are, in the true sense of the term, Vaishnava, there's something below the surface that makes him very attractive. And it's because they're not superficial personalities who are simply interested in the external affairs of this world. Have renounced worldliness, and even those who may appear to be surrounded by worldliness, anyone who has actually appreciated the association of Srila Prabhupada's gift, association of the holy name of the Lord, and association of devotees, knows that external trappings are not what gives us a sense of wholesomeness, completeness. We always feel incomplete. Although by nature we're meant to feel complete, but if we try to feel wholesome by connecting ourselves to the external trappings of this world, they'll always leave us lacking, feeling a sense of lacking. So I had been with Giriraj Maharaj for several months, and every day we would take prasadam together. And his favorite topic is Srila Prabhupada. And he's a gold mine for stories about Srila Prabhupada, because he associated with Prabhupada a lot, especially in Bombay, but many places throughout India. And practically speaking, every time he would sit and take prasadam, he'd always have some story, some anecdote. I remember one time I said something about what day is it today, and Giriraj Maharaj immediately told me an anecdote about Prabhupada. Telling how he was with Prabhupada once, and Prabhupada said, anybody knows doesn't know what day it is crazy. It's insane. I didn't feel at all offended. But he had an anecdote for everything. Something Prabhupada said. And he would always tell these little stories. And after spending several months with him, I had to leave the following morning. I was flying out. I can't remember where I was flying to, but I had to leave for the airport something like 4:30 in the morning, something like that. And Giriraj Maharaj wasn't up. And as I was driving off, I was feeling really intense separation. I didn't want to leave his association, and I didn't know what to do. So I started chanting. And I got this most wonderful realization that actually, that it just appeared to me as I was driving down Craven's Lane, which is right, that although we may have to leave association of those who are dear to us, our God brothers, or the surroundings that are dear to us, if we actually chant Krishna's name with sincerity, that Krishna is our friend, and he's always with us. He can be with us in a moment, simply by calling out his name. And I felt, you know, in my heart, I was feeling that some sense of, although I was feeling some great lack leaving him, but I was feeling again, once again, the sense of wholesomeness and completeness by meditating in this way, that Krishna can always be with us if we simply call him to be present in our lives by chanting his name. And it enabled me to continue my journey to the airport and feel a sense of appreciation for what Prabhupada has given us in the holy name of the Lord, the most valuable gift. So many things we have an opportunity to be grateful for in our Krishna consciousness society. And as speaking about Indra, and he is, as I said, he was a devotee who was very deeply attached to chanting. And he was always trying to emphasize the need that at the forefront of our Krishna consciousness movement should always be Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That was his main emphasis in any discussion I ever had with him. He was emphasizing this point that Srila Prabhupada wanted this congregational chanting to go on and to spread throughout the whole world. And everything is present in Krishna's name. If we associate with Krishna in the form of his name, Kali Kali Namarupa, Krishna Avatar, Namahoite Hoysava Jagunistira. The age of Kali, Krishna has appeared in the form of his name, and anyone who associates with his holy name is as good as associating with Krishna directly, and certainly he becomes delivered. So, if Krishna is there, and Krishna's associates are there, Krishna's pastimes are there, and Krishna's qualities, his form, they're all present in his name, because wherever is Krishna, there's Krishna's devotees. And so he always emphasized this point. And in this past year, I've lost the association of several godmothers who've departed from this world. One of them was Indra. And I was reflecting when I found out that he departed. I was reflecting, and I felt solace. I wrote about this. I think I wrote about it and I posted it on my internet, you know, blog or something like that. Some realization I had that I felt solace that prior to his departure, my last time I met with him was last year. And he came to me, and I was in Vrindavan. And it's in Gopaniya, 2009, that's what it was. And I was staying just nearby our Krishna Balaram temple. In fact, I was staying in a place where Giriraj Maharaj stays. He wasn't there, but that's where I was staying at the time. And I was a little bit disabled because I had sustained some injury in my back and I really couldn't move that well. And Anja had called up the day before and he had expressed an appeal that he wanted me to come and he wanted me to chant in Krishna Balaram Temple. We were having a boat festival and there were hundreds of devotees from all over coming to celebrate the boat festival. And he asked me if I would please come along with Sriram Swami and Bhakti Brinda Govinda Swami. Mm-hmm. The three of us would come chant kirtan. And he didn't speak to me directly. He had left a message with my secretary. So I just told the secretary, well, at that time I was back in the bedroom and the only time I was getting up was to go to the bathroom. And but I just told him, I don't think I'll be able to go. It's not possible. So the following day, Anja Prabhu came to my room. And I was sitting and speaking with Burijan, another godbrother. We were sitting and talking. And Anja just kind of knocked on the door, came in. And he said, he sat down. He looked at me, saw Naranjana Swami, he said, we have hundreds and hundreds of devotees, Krishna Balaram Temple, and you're one of our movement's kirtan leaders, and we're having a boat festival tomorrow, and you have to come. And he's, you know, I didn't want to tell him, you know, I couldn't come. Because he was being a little bit persistent. And so, in an attempt, but it wasn't exclusively an attempt to diffuse his intensity. Anybody who knows Anja Prabhu, he's very intense. So, I told him something that I wanted to tell him for a long time, but I hadn't seen him for a long time. And so I just folded my hands, and I said, Anja Prabhu, I said, I just want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to you. I said that what you have done, you are sitting here in Vrindavan, you are chanting Sankirtan, Krishna's name, and the sound vibration of Krishna's name is reverberating throughout the whole world. And I want to thank you so much for what you're doing, for spreading the glories of Krishna's name throughout the whole world. And I said a few other things, but I can't remember, related to that topic of my own gratitude to him for the service that he had done for spreading the glories of the holy name. And he seemed completely taken aback. He didn't expect it. And he just, he looked like a little child. Disarmed. And he said, thank you. And he didn't push it anymore.
He worked.
So he said, to go. And he said, okay, Maharaj, he said, just try to come tomorrow if you can, I understand. And that was the last time I saw him. It's the last time I spoke to him. So when I found out this year that he departed, in my mind immediately went back to that episode. And I was thinking how grateful I was that I was able to express what I thought about him before his departure. It was really, for me, it was like, it was a great consolation for me. Although, and on all other fronts, it was tragic. Mm-hmm. To lose the association of a Vaishnava who's done so much for serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, who's done so much for spreading Krishna's glories throughout the world, is a tragedy, certainly. But we can take solace as I did, that although he departed, that I was able to express my gratitude to him. And it gave me some realization of how important it is to express our gratitude to devotees. I had another experience, again with another god brother who departed sometime earlier this year. I'm sorry to speak about this topic, but I've had a lot of god brothers depart recently. Just a few weeks ago, I had to fly to Moscow. One god brother of mine, Purnachandra Goswami, departed, and I had to go there to take part of his his ceremony, his memorial services for his departure. That's another story. But I'm speaking about another god brother. His name is Grahila. He is I've known him for quite a few years also. And he contracted cancer, I guess, it was maybe a little over a year ago, year and a half ago. No, I'm okay. All right. Excuse me. And he was living in Mayapur, holy Dhamma, and he decided to go there and to, he was trying to improve, take some treatment for his health, but at one point he realized it wasn't really working. And one day I decided to call him. I was in Budapest at the time. And as it turned out, it was the night before he departed. Although I didn't know that he was going to depart. I guess nobody knew he was going to depart the next day. And I called him, and I began asking about his state of consciousness and how he was doing. And he just started telling me. He said, "I'm so grateful." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I don't know how is it possible, how fortunate I am to be in Mayapur Dham, the place of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Here I am. So many devotees are coming and singing, chanting Krishna's names. Giriraj, his Govardhan Shila, is right here. I have so much association with devotees." And he said, "Ranjana Raj, I don't know how is it that I've been able to be so fortunate to be in a situation like this." And I think, wow. Here's somebody with some realization. And even one point he said, "I don't know why." He said, "I'm just a fallen person. I have no good qualification. I'm just an attached householder. How is it possible that Krishna has put me in a situation to be so fortunate to get an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead?" And he said, "Look at you." And he was speaking to me. He started glorifying me. He says, "You've done so much for Srila Prabhupada, spreading Krishna's sankirtan. Why do you have to stay here and I go back to Godhead?" He was just like, he was bubbling. And he just went on like that. It's just like, and he must have used the word gratitude, I don't know, at least 10 times in the course of the conversation. I was just sitting and listening, and I was just thinking, if I could only be in this state of consciousness under these circumstances, to be so grateful, because it's not hard to feel grateful. Sometimes when people are in that stage, just prior to departing, the tendency is to think, why did I do to deserve this? why do I,
Why me?
Why me? Yeah, exactly. Why me? It's a totally lamentable condition. Of course, as we all know, that it's inevitable for each and every one of us, we have to face this time at some point in this life. Ahanyahani bhutani, Ganshati Yamaliam Shesha Stavamichtanti Gimas Jaya Dakaram. Explained in the Mahabharata when Yamaraj asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, what is the most amazing thing in the world? Yudhisthira Maharaj's response to that is, the most amazing thing is that every single day hundreds and millions of living entities are being sent to the kingdom of death. Still, those who are remaining are looking after a permanent situation. What could be more amazing than this? So I was appreciating his state of consciousness, of feeling so much gratitude to Krishna and to his name for being put in that situation. And I felt that, you know, he was in such an elevated state of... And he felt some connection. He felt some connection with Lord Chaitanya, felt some connection with Krishna, he felt some connection with Srila Prabhupada. He talked about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was appearing to him for a dream and assured him that he was going to take care of him. He was telling me how Prabhupada came to him and assured him he would take care of everything. And it really, really deepened my appreciation. And I also felt grateful to have had his association. And I spoke to him and I said, "No, I'll call you. I'll call you again soon," or something like that. But the next day he departed.
Wow. It was so clear and cut.
Next day. I think it was within 8 hours from the time when I spoke to him, he departed. There you go. same thing happened with Sridhar Maharaj. I called Sridhar Maharaj. I don't know, Krishna somehow does this to me. I called Sridhar Maharaj. It was the night before he departed. He was in Mayapur also at that time. Just dawned on me. It was in 2004. I called him up because I had been with him in Mayapur. And our relationship was based on the holy name. Really based on the holy name. Somehow, he asked me, when he came to Mayapur in 2004, he came because he had been diagnosed, he had his cancer, his liver, as you know. And doctors pretty much said that they couldn't do much. It's too late to do a liver transplant for him. So he came to Mayapur to be with his godbrothers. So I had, just before he came to Mayapur, I had seen him in Bombay. We'll go back a little bit. But it's a nice story. We're talking about gratitude, so I'm speaking about my godbrothers because that's where I really feel a sense of gratitude. Vaishnavism, for me, it's my life. I was in Bombay and Sridhar Maharaj called me and asked me if I would come and have kirtan with him. This is before he had the final diagnosis that it was too late. And it was just at the time of the Punyatra in Pune, just before the Punyatra. And I told him, I said, "Well, I have to go to the Punyatra in Pune, and right after that I'll come to Mumbai and we'll have kirtan." And he thanked me. So during the Punyatra, it's decided to bring him back to Canada, where they were going to try to get him a complete diagnosis to see whether or not it was possible at that time to get a transplant for him. So he called me up and he apologized. He said, "Maharaj, I won't be here. I'll have to take a rain check on the kirtan. I'm going to Canada." And he explained to me the situation, and he went to Canada. And then it was there in Canada that he found out that it had progressed to an advanced stage and it was not possible to do a transplant, and he decided he was going to come to Mayapur. It was the installation of Panchatattva deities. Yeah. He wanted to be there for that. And I think he flew to London, and Indradumna Maharaj met him in London and then accompanied him, and they flew together to Mayapur. And when I saw him in Mayapur, immediately when I saw him, he embraced me, So he said, okay, what about that kirtan? So I embraced him. I said, Maharaj, I said, you just say it, I'm yours 24/7. And he said, so he said, okay, let's have kirtan every night. Every night, we were having GBC meetings at that time, and Shridhar Maharaj, he was quite ill. His body was sometimes not even able to move so well. But as I had promised, I would go every evening after the meetings, and we would sit and we'd have kirtan in his room for maybe two, 3 hours. And everyone would come, and the room would be full every night. So I wasn't the only one chanting, but he oftentimes asked me if I would chant. And that was the time when he was lying in bed, and he would sometimes dance with his arms because he couldn't dance. Put his arms up in the air, waving back and forth like this while lying in bed while we're having kirtan for him. And I remember one night that I had a terrible headache, really bad headache, from being in meetings all day. So I wrote a little note and said, Maharaj, please forgive me. And I said, I won't be able to come to the kirtan tonight. I have a very bad headache. I said, as soon as the meetings are over, I'm going to go back to my room. And I sent it to him. And then as I was walking back to the room, I was thinking, I have a headache. What's a headache in comparison with Shridhar Maharaj is experiencing right now? And I said, I have no business going back to my room. He wants me to come and have kirtan with him every night. So I decided I was going to skip going back to the room. I was going to go and take part in the kirtan. So when I opened up the door to his room was full. As soon as he saw me at the door, he was, although he had bedridden, oftentimes he couldn't even get up except to go to the bathroom. He immediately called me over. He said, come here. And he sat up, hit the bed. He said, sit here. And then I sat down, and he turned to his servant Mayapur. He said, give me that, what do you call it, that bomb?
Tiger bomb.
So without saying a word, he immediately took the tiger bomb. He said, sit right here. And he took the tiger bomb. I massaged in my forehead really and really hard, really hard. And he did it for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
And it was really, I said, Maharaj, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. And he said, be quiet. He just continued massaging. He said, okay, so now you're going to have kirtan? I said, okay, you'll have kirtan. So sat down and had some kirtan. But that was his mood. He was really transcendental. I mean, I remember also one evening, he got up, sat up, and gave a lecture about how we're not these bodies. And it was so lucid. It was so, I mean, here we hear so many lectures. Mm-hmm. About we're not these bodies. Mm-hmm. And we always think it's very, very elementary. Krishna says, Dehi no smin yata dehe ko maranjolam jara. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth, old age, the soul simply passes into another body of death. Dira statra muiti. One who's dira, he's not bewildered by that change. So, he was really demonstrating a detachment, very detachment. But devotees were very concerned. They wanted to try their best to take care of his health. One devotee named G. Dundee, I think, a god brother from Italy, decided to go get an Ayurvedic doctor from South India. And the doctor came and said he could cure Srila Maharaj in 3 weeks or something like that. So he put Srila Maharaj on this real strict diet. If anyone knows Srila Maharaj, strict diets and Srila Maharaj. So he was doing it anyways, and I would come into his room while he was eating, and he'd be sitting there like... And then somehow, I remember one day, is this interesting?
Yes.
Forgive me. I went off. When I was talking about gratitude, I started thinking about my god brothers, especially those who have this association I've lost. Because it really helps me appreciate. Of course, we shouldn't always just appreciate after we've lost them, and that's the point that I'm going to get to. Building up to it. Tendency is we tend to appreciate somebody after we lose them, but actually we should be appreciating before we lose them. And the more important theme that I'd like to eventually get to in this presentation. But anyways, at one point everybody was starting to get positive, and even Srila Maharaj was trying to buy into the possible scenario of getting better as a result of the treatment of this doctor. So it was coming time to the end of the Gaur Purnima festival. Srila Maharaj had taken part in the installation of Panchatattva deities. We all know there's videos showing him how he's bathing the deities are in the Panchatattva. That was one of the main reasons why he wanted to come to Mayapur. He wanted to be there for the installation of those deities and to be with his godbrothers. And it got to the point where we had to leave, and we didn't know how long Srila Maharaj was going to be present at the time. And I was becoming very reluctant. I didn't want to go. I didn't know how to go into the room and say that I was leaving, you know, because I had my ticket, it was already booked for a certain day. I could have extended it, I could have stayed longer, and I was of two minds. I said, maybe should I just leave without saying anything, or should I, if I go there, I don't know how, whatever. I decided I was going to go and tell him that I was getting ready to leave. So I walked into the room. He said, what are you doing still here? So I said, oh, Maharaj, I came to see you. He said, get out of here. He said, Prabhupada wants you to preach. Oh. He said, what do you want? Why do you, you know, immediately just like completely just changed my whole, I'm going in there thinking, how am I going to tell him I'm going to leave? And he's telling me to get out of Mayapur and go out and preach. He said, well, don't waste your time here. You know, he said, I'm going to get better. He said, just go to Moscow. I'll see you in Moscow in a few weeks. You know, and I said, but Maharaj, he said, that's it, get out. And he did that. Every god brother who came in, it was the same thing. I'll see you later, I'll see you some, you know, it's like, so he was like, he was really kind of, you know, taking charge, so to speak. And because he anticipated that a lot of god brothers were going to come and they were going to feel the same way. They didn't want to say goodbye. So he just kind of just reversed the whole thing, saying, I'm going to say goodbye. We'll see each other again. Get out, go preach. So I left Mayapur. I went to Bombay. And because my flight was flying out from Bombay, I was flying to Ukraine, to Kiev. And my flight was leaving, I think, something like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. I was just about going down. I was going to the car to catch my flight, and I got a phone call from Mayapur, from from Mayapur Das, his servant. And he said to me, Naranjana Maharaj, he said, Shri Maharaj is really missing his god brothers. And I said, what are you saying? He said, yeah, I really think, I'm wondering if it's possible. He said, do you think you can, he didn't know where it was at the time, it just happened to me, it was 3 hours before flight for departure. So I explained to him the situation. I didn't know if I could change the flight. It was just too late. So instead I wrote a letter to Radhanath Maharaj, who happened to be there at the time, and explained the whole thing. And I asked Radhanath Maharaj if he would contact Shri Maharaj. And then I left. I went to Ukraine. And then when I was in Ukraine, I got there. I think it was just a few days later, I called Shri Maharaj. And I asked him, I said, I asked him how he was doing. And he said, you're going to have to preach to me. Basically, it was his mood at that particular time. I said, about what? He said, you're going to have to convince me that it's worth staying here, because I don't feel like I'm going to stay here much longer. I want to stay here much longer. Mm. So I said, why do you say that? He said, I think Prabhupada wants me to serve someplace else. And I said, but we need your association. And he said, you know, there's certainly a lot. He said, no. He said, you're going to have to. He said to me, you're going to have to tell me more than that. You're going to have to preach to me more than that to convince me to stay here. So I was sort of like catching his mindset, that he was feeling that it was, he basically said, no, this treatment's not working. And so I can't remember exactly what I told him, but I more or less spoke about that we should accept whatever decision Krishna makes. You know, whether you stay or whether you go, you know, service will always be there. So let Krishna decide whether you stay or go. But you should try and to serve Prabhupada and serve his order, and everything else will be taken care of. He spoke for some time, and then following morning, he departed. And it was a painful, again, another painful experience. But I definitely had all opportunity and to speak to him, associate with him, express my appreciation for his friendship, and more than anything, what I really appreciate in these devotees is how dedicated they are to serving Srila Prabhupada. So, gratitude, as we're speaking about, and initially we began speaking about gratitude, is a very important quality that we should cultivate. Even Krishna is grateful. That is one of his qualities. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he never forgets any service rendered by his devotee. Even the smallest amount of service. Nothing is insignificant to Krishna. We were just reading the other night a verse. What was that verse? It was spoken by Sudha Brahman when he went to Krishna and brought him some few palmful of rice, as we know. Mm. Excuse me one second. I can't find it, but I think we know what it is. Basically, he said that the Supreme Lord considers all of his benedictions, even his greatest of benedictions, to be very insignificant in comparison to even the smallest amount of service rendered by his devotee. He said that Krishna will always take that small service rendered with affection and he'll magnify it into be something very, very big. He magnifies it. Sudama Brahman was speaking about this, that because he, as we know, he brought simply a handful of broken rice, flat rice, and offered it. Of course, he didn't even offer it. He was too embarrassed to give it to the Lord. But the Lord snatched it out of his hand and was so grateful for the offering that Sudam had brought for him, that for him, he said, "This, you should understand that this few grains of broken rice is sufficient to satisfy the entire universe." Although, and he immediately took it and he ate it. And then it's described how Rukmini brought us a fortune, and when he was going to take another morsel of it, she immediately grabbed his arm and said, "Don't." He said, "Don't eat any more. You've already eaten a few grains, and now I'm so indebted that I have to give him so much opulence in return for what you've already eaten, that if you take any more, I'm afraid that I won't have sufficient opulences to pay him back." So she stopped him from eating more. Just those few grains of broken rice. And the Lord was so grateful. He magnifies whatever small amount of service rendered. He makes it to something very big because he doesn't see the external. Again, he doesn't see the externals. Krishna is somebody who's the most deep. Talk about deep persons, if you want to. Krishna is the most deep. You can never go and uncover the depth of Krishna's personality. Atapi deva padambhaja dvaya prasadala sindhagrihita evahi, is explained by Lord Brahma. Unless one gets a drop of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, he'll never be able to understand the depth, the greatness of his personality. Even if one studies the scriptures, performs austerities for millions of births, none of these things will be revealed to him unless he gets a drop of Krishna's mercy. So Krishna's so deep. Imagine a person who can simultaneously reciprocate with unlimited living entities all at the same time, and every one of them think that Krishna's alone with me. I have his exclusive attention. And whatever he does, his purpose is always to glorify and to please his devotee because he's completely surrendered to his devotee. That's and you try to understand why Krishna does something. It's not an easy thing. Nihasid kahichid rajan puma veda vihitsitam gavijigyasya yugam kukmai. What is it? Nihasid kahichid rajan puma veda vihitsitam gavijigyasya yukta muyanti kaviyopihi. Nobody can understand Krishna's personality, the plan of Lord Shri Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, the bewildered. It's not easy to know why Krishna does something. So he's the deepest person, and he doesn't see externals. The only thing that he sees is what's there in the heart. If anybody offers something to him, patram pushpam palam tayam yomi bhakti prayachati, if he offers a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water with love and devotion, his inclination is to accept that offering because he's concerned about, the only thing he's concerned about is that the devotee is offering it to him with love. So he feels bound and so grateful. So grateful that even a few grains of broken rice was sufficient to satisfy the entire universe. And he felt that he couldn't sufficiently, adequately reciprocate. Look at how grateful he was to the gopis. I mean, he said, you know, you've surrendered everything to me. I cannot possibly pay back my debt to you, even so many births. Let your own pious deeds be my payment, because I can't do it. I can't possibly pay it back. He felt so grateful to them. Why? Because they've, for him, they were offering their lives to him. They're offering their love to him, offering everything to him, and ready to sacrifice anything for him. He's a person. He's become so grateful, so indebted. And then when he tries to give something back in return, because that he's a person, because his devotee doesn't want anything in return. So how is he going to do? What's he going to do? He's in a dilemma. He gets caught in a dilemma. He's so pleased, even by the little service rendered to his devotee, he wants to give something back in return, and he says, please let me give you something in return. And the devotee says, I don't want anything, just let me serve you. And then the Lord says, but please, I can, like you told Kolavecha Shridha, I can make you a king, I can give you a kingdom. Why do you have to live in poverty like this? No, you'll be my master, let me be your servant, birth after birth after birth. He prays. The devotees pray like that because they're so happy simply with the opportunity to serve. So Krishna wants to give something. So the devotee keeps on saying, no, I don't want anything, just let me serve you. So Krishna says, okay, if you won't let me give you something, still I'll give you something. So what does Krishna give? He gives his heart. Okay, now you have my heart. And he explains, this whole principle is explained in relationship to Maharaj Ambarish in the story of Durvasa Muni. When Durvasa Muni came to Krishna, to Vishnu, he said, after they're going to Brahma, going to Shiva for shelter from the Sudarshan Chakra, came to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu told him, he said, I'm not independent. I'm under the control of my devotee. I'm not at all independent. And Durvasa Muni says, but sir, look at me. I'm suffering. Certainly, you're the Supreme Lord. If you see somebody suffering and somebody's coming to take shelter of you, certainly, you know, you can protect him. And the Lord says, actually, no, I don't even have a mind to think about your suffering. I can't think about your suffering. It seems like callous and cold. Durvasa Muni is coming to the Lord for protection, and the Lord's saying, no, I don't have a heart and I don't have a mind. And why? And he explains to him, he says, because my devotee always serves me with so much love. He takes me into his heart and serves me there within his heart. And I ask him, please let me give you something, but my devotee never wants anything. So what do? I give him my heart. So I don't have a heart to think about your suffering, but if you want me to think about your suffering, then go to Maharaj Ambarish, the person you offended. He has my heart. He can forgive you. My heart is there. So the Lord gives his heart to his devotee. What could be more valuable gift, treasure, to obtain than to have the heart of the Lord? And therefore the Lord says, I am the heart with the devotee. The devotee is always in my heart. I am always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't think of anyone but me, and I don't think of anyone but him. So Krishna says, there I am. If you want my heart, you want my mind, you want my compassion, and my devotee has it, go to him. But I can't do anything for you. That's how much a devotee can control the Lord. The devotee's decision is the decision the Lord accepts. The Lord says, only if he decides can you get my compassion. I can't decide separately. So that's what the Lord, how he, that's what he gives in return. That's his gratitude. That's the gratitude he feels to his devotee. In so many places we see in the scripture that the Lord explains that to his devotee, you have purchased me by your love. I am bound. You've purchased me. Now you can sell me wherever you wish. It says that to Haridas Thakur. He says, you, because of your love for me, you have purchased me, and now wherever you wish, you can sell me. And I'll be. He comes. And therefore, Haridas Thakur, the Vaishnavas, because they have the Lord within the core of their hearts, they're always meditating on the Lord. The Lord gives himself so completely to them that therefore they can give him to others. Because they possess the Lord. It's not an easy thing to possess the Lord. Nasari yati man yogyo yasankhya dhamma udhava. As Krishna tells Uddhava, he says, an unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotee brings me under his control. I cannot be thus controlled by sacrifices, by austerities, by study of scripture, by charity, none of these things. But devotional service brings me under the control. So as soon as one serves the Lord, even if it's the smallest, most insignificant offering, the Lord becomes purchased and says, I'm yours. Now instruct me. Do with me as you like. So, if the Supreme Lord has so much gratitude, even for a small, insignificant service, right? What may appear to be insignificant externally, may appear to be very insignificant. But to the Lord's eyes, it's not insignificant at all. He sees the love. And therefore we have to be very, very careful in association with devotees that we should not judge devotees by their external behavior or qualities. We should be very careful to pass judgment upon others. And thus we're as good as the all-pervasive supersoul, and we actually know what is in the heart, what is the motive, what is the intention of the person. You know, we should be very careful to. And therefore, Krishna says, "Apichet sudaracharo bhajante namananya bhak." Even if one performs an abominable action, if he's rightly sitting in his determination, still he is considered to be saintly. Yeah. Rightly situated in determination means that even if somebody may externally perform something which it may appear to be inappropriate, but if he's rightly situated in his determination, he'll genuinely repent and continue to serve the Lord under all circumstances. And therefore we have to be very careful not to judge somebody who's rightly situated in the determination to go on serving Krishna. But the tendency is we don't, if we're not careful, we can become judgmental, and we begin to, as soon as we become judgmental, we may not be able to appreciate and feel grateful for the association of devotees that we have. There's something very dangerous, something very terrible, if we cannot appreciate the association of devotees and be grateful for what Krishna has given us. Because it's terrible when you have to realize that you do appreciate them when you lose them. And therefore we always have to be very, very careful to accept whatever situation that Krishna has put us in, whatever association that Krishna has put us in. We should be like, as Prabhupada explains, like the bee who's always going for the honey, and not like the fly who always goes for the source. The bee that's always going for the honey is always looking for the good qualities, always appreciating the good qualities in others. A Vaishnava is known as a dosha darshi. A dosha darshi means he doesn't see fault. Of course, it's an advanced position, but we should cultivate that decision, that position. We should not be interested in looking for the fault, but we should appreciate good qualities in others, and to see the sincerity in their heart and the desire that they have to do something to serve the Lord, even if it may appear to be very small. Krishna considers it very big, as we already said. So our compassion is based on that ability to see something very big in what may appear to be very small. That is compassion. That is deep. That is depth. Not to be superficial in our association of devotees, but to appreciate that somebody even has a small desire, small spark of a desire to do something for Krishna, then he is the greatest. When the Vaishnava is asked, Lord Chaitanya, who is a Vaishnava? He says, anyone who's once chanted his name, he considers to be a Vaishnava. Even chanting his name once. So they're not ordinary persons. And if we're not careful, if we don't see the sincere intention, the sincere attitude that is there in others, and we simply look at the fault, then we have to look in our own hearts and see, why is it that I can't see the good? There must be something wrong with myself. Look there first. And then if we can cultivate that type of consciousness and mentality in association of devotees, then we have a reason to be grateful. And especially we should feel grateful to be able to chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, and grateful to anyone who comes and takes part in the glorification of the Lord by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm very grateful to all of you for coming and taking part this evening in our chanting. And we can possibly end with a short kirtan, if that's okay.